and that's one of the many things that is going on around Churches of Christ. As Chris said, just to talk a little bit about it, people that perhaps if you don't sort of move around, and many of us don't, but Jeanette and I, particularly out of the role that I'm in, have the privilege of moving around all over the state, and perhaps don't realise that we've been in a really strong growth phase over the last probably 6 or 7 years. And in fact, since 2009, Churches of Christ in Queensland has doubled in size, and so which is very much at the sort of opposite trend from a lot of other denominations and churches. So, and I'll talk a little bit about why that is the case. But I think we're offering, if I can say that, or our presences in communities are relevant and contemporary and of its time. Churches of Christ at its best, I think, has always been a very inclusive movement, and it's about, you know, very much our communion, which is anyone who loves the Lord is welcome at the Lord's table. It goes back several hundred years, but and at the time that was quite revolutionary, because you had to be a member, you know, to participate in communion, you had to be of that particular church or whatever, and they wouldn't sort of let you unless you were part of their particular club almost. Churches of Christ said, no, you know, we believe in an open table, so anyone who loves the Lord's welcome here. And that's extended out into our ethos and our culture. I think, you know, like many big institutions, we lost our way for a while there. In the latest season, it's been one of great growth in many areas. So it's a really good time. praise God! Yes, it is. It is. So sort of following on that, in a formal sense, out of the role that I'm in, I do bring greetings from all the other Churches of Christ's places in. Caught on the map. Thanks, Chris. Around the state that I've spoken on. About change, there's change happening here today, where you've got someone that I'm guessing has been much loved and part of the congregation is going to another congregation. And let me just commend and acknowledge you as a church for that, and obviously the heart of people involved, because that's always a sort of an exciting thing, but it's a sad thing too, because it's like someone goes away, there's sadness about all of that. The church itself, of course, is over 2,000 plus years, and Churches of Christ in Queensland, as I said, have always been subject to massive changes and swings and ups and downs. And when I was thinking about this the other night, and I was thinking back to... we have three children who are all adults now and well and truly, but when they were at their first year of school, they put on a nativity play, you know, at the end of the year at Christmas time, and schools and churches often did that. So it was a nativity play, and they'd lined it all up, and they had three little boys that were going to be the three wise men, and they had their roles, and their roles were that they had to come out and present the gold, frankincense and myrrh, you know. So the role was that I had to come out and, you know, I give you gold, sort of thing. So the three boys are in the wings, and they've got their lines and the tea towel on their head, and it was all predictable chaos sort of thing, but anyway, they were lined up. So the first boy comes out, and very nervous, and he says to the baby Jesus, I give you gold, and all the parents are wrapped and everything else. And anyway, back over here, there was a bit of, that sort of got a bit mixed up, and the third boy who was supposed to come on do the myrrh, jump the thing, and so he sort of comes out and he says, I give you myrrh. And the little boy who was supposed to come out with the frankincense, and he's really lost it now, and he's really like, oh, you know, they wrecked it. Anyway, so there's sort of this long pause and everyone's waiting, and finally he comes out and he's totally rattled, and he said, oh, Frank sent this. And, of course, everyone laughs and what have you. So sometimes the lines get mixed up and things go wrong, and it's not actually according to the script. And I tell that story because so much often in our church journeys, and I'm not saying just Church of the Cross, but across the system, things get mixed up and things, the script gets lost, you know, and what gets played out, if people are not aware of that, they sort of take that as being given. And I'll give you another example, and I'm obviously not going to name the church, but it is a small Church of Christ, and I was asked to go out there some while ago to speak. And as I said, I tell this story about how things can get fixed and they can cause tension. So we went there and as I said, because of the role I'm in, I have the privilege of travelling around. I see many, many of our churches and care services and what have you. So as was the want of this church, it was they said, "Oh, will you come and join us for prayer before we start the service?" I said, "Sure." So we found our way, and there's a little prayer room. And it was one of our older churches, and I only chuckle because I'll tell it as what was in my mind. And as I said, this is a faithful church, don't get me wrong, but I'll tell it. And I'm thinking, so we've got to go all the way over here and go in this little room because it's got prayer room on it. You know, sort of. So we're all squashed in this little room. We couldn't say the prayer outside. But anyway, so we're squashed in the room because it's tradition, obviously. And so we said a prayer. And then I said, they'd asked to do communion, and I thought, I'll better just check, you know, because different churches have different ways they want to do the communion. I said, how's communion done here? And one of the elders said, oh, you know, it was not joking. And he said, oh, well, we do it the Bible way. And I'm thinking, well, this is not really helping me. And I didn't want to say, well, what's the Bible way? So I'm sort of like, tell me more, you know. And he said, it was sort of obviously, well, you know, the role you're in, why are you asking this? And he said, well, the Bible way, he said, and I need to tell you, you did it wrong this morning. the Bible way, according to this particular chap, was that we have a prayer, we pass out the bread, we all hold the bread. We all hold the bread, and then we eat the bread together. And then we pass out the cup, and as the cup's passed out, the tray, you take the cup, you drink it, and you put it back down again, and the train goes on. So you obviously didn't do it the Bible way. I say that tongue-in-cheek because it was a faithful man, and but the story I told about the script, and now that... In that particular church, that's the Bible way. And clearly for this particular chap, if you tried to do it differently, there was going to be strife. Churches suffer from that sort of stuff. And the church, local churches suffer, and the church as a whole. And as I said, I think Churches of Christ at its best has more freedom about it and is more central to our name. We are Churches of Christ. We're on about the work of Christ. So I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the essentials. And I liked the communion comments and introductions that was made about, you know, if you're an Australian, people assume you're from Australia. And if you say you're a Christian, well, you would assume that you're on about the work of Christ. That you're a follower of Jesus. So I want to just talk about that. Now, I might just throw a cue to my projectionist at the back. Yeah, so if you could put up the next slide. Thanks. oh, my papers are going to fall off. Thank you. I don't know if this is any better. I actually normally do it off my iPad, and a couple of weeks ago I hadn't checked and my iPad went flat. So I thought, I'm winging it from here on in. So I thought I'll do it off the paper notes. Um, So this is a reason. I want to talk about Churches of Christ and some of the essentials, and I've got some Bible verses that I want to refer back to just gather the points together. So this is the reading where Jesus had returned to Galilee, and he was preaching in the synagogues, etc., and he went to Nazareth, and I'll just read it. He went to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." Then he rolled up the scroll, he gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So it's really a statement of purpose. Like, Jesus was handed the scroll, he's found the reading from Isaiah, and he's read it out, and he said, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing," which you can imagine the reaction of everybody there. But it was Jesus, it was virtually a statement of purpose. Good news to the poor, freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour, the good news. And then the next slide, if that was a statement of purpose, this is a statement of the bullseye. If you want to know, we say we are churches of Christ, we say we are followers of Jesus, then what's the bullseye? There was lots of things that are set out in the Bible, but if you want to know the bullseye, Jesus set it out. So reading from Matthew there, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with the question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." So love God with everything you've got, basically, and love your neighbor as yourself. Love the other. And he says, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So if you want to know, in marketing terms, what's the tagline or what's the catch cry of being a Christian? Love God with everything you've got. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law. Everything else hangs off that. So that's the bullseye. Who's using that imagery? And then there are obviously outer rings, but that's the centerpiece. So the next slide, and just to take that further, they questioned him. So one of them, because they were trying to test him with that, out of the hundreds of commandments and laws that are set out in the Torah, which is essentially the Old Testament, these guys, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, which were the learned men, the religious leaders of the day, were trying to put this guy called Jesus in his place and show him up in front of the people. But of course, as happened many, many times, he just sort of laser-like just cut straight through it and went to the heart of it and said, well, the greatest commandment is to love God, you know, and then alongside that is to love your neighbour. So they wanted to just go on and still try and trick him up. And so they said, but who's my neighbour, you know? So then he went on and told the story of the Good Samaritan. And you know the story. Leave that up. That's the conclusion. The story of the Good Samaritan was this guy that was going along the roadway, and he was beaten up by robbers and in a bad way. You know, essentially, I think, if not unconscious, certainly laying by the side of the road. And it says that a priest saw him and walked past, and then another holy man, another religious man, a Levite, he showed up, and he also avoided the injured man. So two people that religious-wise or value-wise you would think should have done the right thing said, maybe that's a setup, I'm going to get attacked, maybe I'm not allowed to touch someone on a holy day. There was a whole plethora of reasons that may have gone through these men's head. The bottom line is that they didn't help the guy. And then it says that the Samaritan is like the refugee, is like the person who's not one of us, and certainly not one of this guy. He was the one that stopped. And he was the one that tended his wounds and then took him to the innkeeper, and then he paid the innkeeper, and further trusting and saying, look, can you care for him? And if you give other care, tote up the odds and I'll come back and I'll pay you later on. I mean, what an amazing trust and things to do. So Jesus he's told the story. Well, if you want to ask about neighbours, there's the good neighbour. So he concluded, as you can see on the screen. So what do you think? Which of the three became a neighbour to the man who was attacked by the robbers? The one who treated him kindly, the religious scholar responded. You can almost hear him reluctantly sort of saying that. And Jesus said, well, go and do the same. And they pretty much shut up after that. Yeah. I want to put up another scripture reading that's teaching the same thing that I'm following through here. So he had Jesus' statement of purpose that was reading from Isaiah. He was then questioned and challenged and said, well, you know, if you want to know what the heart of this is, the greatest commandment, love God and love your neighbour. And then, all right, you want to try and challenge me on neighbour? Well, I'll tell you who was the good neighbour. It's the person that may not be the loved person. It may not be one of us, but it's the person in, you know, that is in need. So the next scripture that's up there is from Amos. And let me read it, because it's quite a confronting reading. And this is God saying through his prophet Amos, I can't stand your religious meetings. I'm fed up with your conferences and your conventions. I want nothing to do with your religion projects, your pretentious slogans and goals. I'm sick of your fundraising schemes, your public relations and image making. I've had all I can take of your noisy ego music. When was the last time that you sang to me? Do you know what I want? I want justice, oceans of it. I want fairness, rivers of it. That's all I want. That's all I want. Very confronting reading. When was the last time you sang to me? I want justice. I want fairness. That's all I want. Essentially, God's saying through that reading, I don't want all your religious stuff. I want fairness. I want justice. I want kindness. I want love. I want a relationship and a personal relationship with me. If you go back, what was the greatest commandment? Love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. It's about a personal relationship. Jeanette and I, as I said, have had the privilege of travelling around all around this state. And a couple of places that we went early on, we came up from Melbourne at the start of 2010. And many of the places up here we'd never been to, having come from Melbourne. And we went to two places, Cunnamulla and St. George, on a trip out there. And I'm sure local Queenslanders will know, Cunnamulla was about 9 hours west drive, and it's red earth. And from us coming from Melbourne, this is out in the middle of nowhere. But Churches of Christ has a presence out at Cunnamulla, and we also went to visit St. George. We have a presence out there. And we met with, met with the mayor, who was a lady out there, the Shire of Peru, and the CEO of the council, and to talk to them and say good day and what have you. And I remember in both of those communities being sort of taken aback at the warmth of the welcome that we got from these community leaders. And they said on both occasions, sort of unrehearsed, we so appreciate what the church is doing in our community. We so appreciate what the church is doing in our community. And Jeanette's nodding. 10 of our ministers, including Jeanette, were out there, a few weeks ago, about a month ago, back out at Cunnamulla. They did a just a presence in the community, a working bee, and just to bring uplift into that community. It was a great sort of mission endeavour. But why I mention it, we so appreciate what the church is doing in our community. In both of those communities, we don't have a local congregation that meets on a Sunday morning. What we do have in sort of plain terms is that we have a place where we care for the elderly in those communities, and we have a place where we care for the children in both those communities. And we happen to be the only provider of those services in both those communities. So if we weren't there, there wouldn't be anybody caring for the seniors or caring for the children. But we do them in language that we've been talking about more frequently over the last 6 years as places where hopefully people can access the kingdom of God. Why it was so significant when I went out there, the language of we so appreciate what the church is doing in our community is that at the start of 2010, the language that was being used, particularly within Churches of Christ, and I think in other places, was that the church was what happens on Sunday morning. And what happens in an aged care facility or a childcare centre or a men's shed or many of the other places that we have, that's somehow not church, that's something else. And I get it. I've grown up, as Jeanette has, in the church. I love Sunday morning, so don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with Sunday morning. But I think where it is limiting is when we think that the church is only what happens on Sunday morning. The church in its widest is why I've brought some of those readings. God didn't say when he asked what was the greatest commandment was make sure you're in the synagogue on Sunday morning. He didn't answer. He didn't say that. He said love God and love one another, essentially. Love your neighbour. And the reading from Amos, which is quite confronting because we're all involved in all that, and particularly in my role, I'm involved in conferences and conventions and fundraising schemes and all the things that he says, I actually don't want all those. Now, I think what the point that he was making is not to say that, look, all that is wrong. I think he's trying to make a point that there's something much more central to it. What I want is fairness. What I want is justice. What I want is love. When did you last sing to me? It's after a personal relationship. And if you track it back through the scriptures, as it always was, from the Garden of Eden, you know, all the way through, the whole journey is about a personal relationship between us and God. So we started to change the language throughout Churches of Christ to stop talking about the church as being only on Sunday morning and start talking about presences within the community. And what would it look like if every single presence... I'm doing well on those notes. Leave those ones. If every presence in the community was a place where people could access the kingdom of God, what would that look like? What would it mean that we're doing not just on Sunday morning but during the week? What would it look like in a centre where we're caring for children? What would it look like in a place where we're caring for seniors or the frail towards the end of the life? The point was also brought home to me. Another tour and travelling around that we went up to Charters Towers, and I know Chris was up there at, and it was part of your ministry journey, but this was sometime after Chris had been there, but went up to Charters Towers as one of our churches and caught up with folk there. And when I went there, there was about 9 people that were still meeting as Charters Towers folk, and they no longer met in the church because the church was crumbling and needed maintenance, and it was eventually sort of passed on. So they met in their home, and there was 9 folk, and I think essentially about 4 families that were couples, and they were all in their 70s, and that was Charters Towers Church of Christ. And so we joined them, and again, it was early on when we were travelling around, just a bit of humorous trivia, but I remember it well. because it was so hot up there, and we were meeting there when there was no air conditioning or whatever. They were hardy folk, and they opened the windows, and we had a roast lunch. And I'm thinking, so this was do it, you know, the traditional have the roast lunch on Sunday. But anyway, so sitting there having this roast lunch and sweat pouring off me, but that had nothing to do with it other than I just remember it well. But the point was, it was a beautiful, beautiful gathering of nine people, or ten with me. And we had a prayer, and we ate our lunch, and then we shared intentionally in communion, and then we had a prayer, and then the folk went home. Now, that they do that every Sunday, and they rotate it around the houses, you know, the homes. So they meet in a home. Two or more are gathered in my name. Jesus said, I'm there. So I'm absolutely, you know, privileged to join with them. But the point in telling that was I also... in the same week, happened to be at, it was actually our Maryborough aged care service. And it was the middle of the week and Wednesday, and I was there and I joined them for a service. So they had a service, 11 o'clock on Wednesday morning, and it was old churches across by the numbers. So it was a four-hymn sandwich, and we had the communion, and we had a retired minister who preached come to Jesus. You know, it was wonderful, and all the old hymns were sung. Why I tell those two things and the life in there, and they had I reckon 80 odd folk, you know, so there were folk in their wheelchairs and were fit enough and their families, and it was, even though it was a senior person's home, it was full of life, it was full of purpose, it was full of people gathering together in the community. Now, they were meeting in their home as well, which just we call a nursing home. But it's their home because they're paid to go into there. And so that's their home. Charters Towers, they were meeting in a home. We used language to say that's the church, but this is well, this is a caring service, or this is something different. In my view, they're not. They're just different expressions of people being the people of God and gathering together as Christians. And that's absolutely part of the church, as is Charters Towers. So the language of church and other, is it's the heart of this, as God's saying, look, I don't, all the religious stuff and the trappings, and in fact falling out of fellowship because somehow we may not be doing communion right, or somehow we might not be, you know, doing things right. And I've got to tell you, the role that I'm in, I've unfortunately been involved in many people falling out of fellowship over arguments about what's, you know, interpretations or whatever. That's why I told you the story about, you know, the script of the three little boys. It's a humorous story, but in fact, people, you know, years later say, oh, that's not the way you do it, and, you know, and unfortunately, that is not the heart of who we are as Churches of Christ. It's not the heart of being Christian, honestly. Jesus was on about love. He was on about inclusiveness. He was on about, look, I'll go and sit with the tax collectors and the sinners. You know, he said, when he was challenged, you know, he was having this party, and you know, I haven't got time to put up all the readings, but you read about Jesus, and in fact, one of the readings, it was John the Baptist's followers confronted Jesus' followers and said, why are you doing this? You're eating and you're drinking and what have you. This was like John the Baptist's followers confronting them. So it was sort of pretty close to home. And Jesus said, well, look, you know, he used a number of metaphors, but he said, you know, if there's a wedding, you feast. You know, and then he was also challenged by the Pharisees with saying, well, you know, how can you be doing all this with, you know, prostitutes and tax collectors and sinners, and you're mingling with them all. And he said to him, he said, who needs a doctor? Does the doctor only go with the healthy? He works with those that need the help. Who needs the doctor? So there's many, many examples. So I'll just put up the next slide, if you could. Yeah. This is from Matthew 15, as you can see there. It was Jesus replying to the Pharisees and the religion scholars who were criticizing him. So, and there were many instances of this, as I was just touching on one then. And Jesus said, "You nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people make a big show of saying the right thing, but their heart isn't in it. They act like they're worshipping me, but they don't mean it. They just use me as a cover for teaching whatever suits their fancy." It's going to the same point that I'm trying to make. Jesus said, "When did you sing to me?" And we can have, he's saying, "You nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition." This can make people uncomfortable. I'm not saying tradition is not important or ritual is not important. Don't hear that, because it can be very, very important. I think it is, for example, if I'm talking about Sunday morning service, it's actually wonderful and necessary and really important that the people of God do come together to join in fellowship and to be uplifted, to share and to meet around communion. Jesus said, "Do this in memory of me." So I'm not talking against ritual per se. It's actually the heart of what's underlying it. That Jesus was saying, you know, through that Amos reasoning, look, it's not about all your conventions and all your religious stuff. Jesus confronting the Pharisees here, "You nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition." If the tradition becomes the law, then we become Pharisees. It's not that it's not important, but it's when it becomes the most important thing and the word of God and the personal relationship with God is subjugated to that, that we've lost the plot. And there are teachings after teachings after teachings. God saying, "What I want is a personal relationship with you. I want a personal relationship with you." That's the bullseye: love God with all your heart, soul, strength and mind. And alongside that, love your neighbour as yourself. Love one another. Everything hangs off that. It's not the other way around. The reading, again, the next two readings, and I won't go through them all because of time, but it's the readings, slides 7 and 8, on the separation of the sheep and the goats. And as I said, just truncating it down, the reading, many of you will be aware of it, but it talks about end times and God saying to all of us, "For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was homeless and you gave me a room. I was shivering and you gave me clothes. I was sick and you stopped to visit. A stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison, you came to me." And you get the feeling he could go on and on. Connect that back to the Good Samaritan story that Jesus told. You connect that back to the statement of purpose that Isaiah, that Jesus read out and said, you have had that fulfilled in your hearing. They all talk about the same things. "For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was homeless." And the separation of the sheep and the goats, which is again really confronting, because there are those that said, "Oh Lord, when did I do that? I didn't do that." And he said, "When you did it for the least of one of those, you did it for me. So welcome, come." And then you have the other side of said, "Oh Lord, well, when I didn't see you there, I mean, if I had known it was you, I obviously would have given you a drink." He said, "Well, when you didn't do it for the least of one of those, you didn't do it for me." Screen out. It's the same message all through the scriptures. And John, which is the latest written gospel, the next slide, really is again summing it all up. But Jesus states it again as a new commandment. "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." As I said, John, the latest written gospel, picking up all of those themes and summarising it. God so loved the world that he sent his Son, The Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. And Jesus, his Son, whom God said he was well pleased with, went to the cross as the supreme act of God's love for us. But it didn't end there. It went further because he rose from death to further prove that death was not the final straw for us. Death is not conquered. The darkness does not conquer the light. So in summary, what are the essentials? I talked about Churches of Christ being in a really good place. Of course, we have many challenges across all of our places, but and it's a never-ending story. You know, I told a story with somewhat humour, but hopefully you heard the heart behind it of, you know, one elder in one church. We do communion by the Bible. Yeah, well, you know, there are different versions in the Bible about how you do communion, and you did do it right today, just by the way. You hear me. I'd use that as an example. Let us not fall out of fellowship over this is the right way to do things or this is the wrong way to do things or whatever. It's not that it's not important how we go about doing things, but the heart of this is have a personal relationship with God, seek out God, spend time in prayer. Ultimately, as Jesus said, and it's reiterated throughout, that the greatest bullseye is your relationship with God. You are a child of God, you know, and he is a father that is longing to have that relationship. When did you sing to me? You know, don't just sing songs. When did you sing to me, which is about the personal relationship? And the extension of that is to love one another. That's the heart of it. Don't fall out of fellowship. Don't, you know, can we find ways through of the difficulties that always come up? So in summary, we are churches of Christ, not churches of Christ, like, you know, Nike or something as a brand name. We are churches of Christ. It is in our name. We are Christians. We are followers of the creator of the universe. We're on about Christ and forwarding what he asked us to do. The scriptures and God's word are consistent in their message and teachings. God loves us and he loves you so much. As I said, like the most loving father, all he wants is for us to love him and to make that commitment. So love God with all your heart, soul, strength and mind, and love your neighbor and each other as well as you love yourself. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Stand for justice. Stand for fairness. Have a heart for the poor and the unloved. Care for the sick. And care for the elderly, care for the orphans and the widows and the homeless. Stand tall against oppression, be uplifted, and go forth knowing yourself that you are a child of God. Thanks.